Okay, let's jump right in. We have a lot to cover this hour, as we always do. Jeff and Erica Kahn back with you, as we are two, sometimes three times a week, to update you on the bioweapon worldwide genocide of humanity. That's what it is. It ain't no vaccine. Don't kid yourself. Now, I want to spend just about 2 minutes on the human angle of this real quick. There are so many people dying now, and many more are being injured for life. And one of the strangest things, Erica, that I've seen and we've talked about is how these people are often grievously injured, sometimes terminally, and yet they still defend getting the vaccine. It's a strange thing. We're going to hear that in just a moment. Any thoughts on that? This is a weird one to me.
Yeah, it defies logic, but it's characteristic of, well, I've heard it compared to women in an abusive relationship that, you know, they put up with the beatings or abuse.
Stockholm.
A little bit, yeah. You just can't accept that somebody that you put trust or faith in is harming you. And I think that's the relationship a lot of people have with both the government and Big Pharma.
I'll amen that one. Here's an example. This woman developed severe Bell's palsy. We're just going to play a little bit of this after getting the AstraZeneca shot, which may be the worst of the batch. How do you compare death? It's difficult, but it's a bad one. Here's a little clip.
I wanted to talk about it responsibly. I don't want to discourage people from getting vaccines. And strangely, I don't really want to discourage them from getting this one.
Jennifer Gibson says she got the COVID vaccine because she wanted to see life in Canada get back to normal. But the Toronto woman wasn't prepared for what she saw when she looked in the mirror 2 weeks after getting her AstraZeneca shot.
In the morning, I was just looking and I thought, gosh, something is weird with my face. And I thought, whatever, I slept funny, no big deal. And by the end of the day, my husband even, I was asking him, like, this is weird now. And even with kindness, he had to say, yes, it was.
A phone consult with Gibson's doctor confirmed that she had developed Bell's palsy, a form of facial paralysis.
So honestly, when they said Bell's palsy, it's, you know, devastating to look at half your face being paralyzed. But the little that I knew of Bell's palsy, I thought, people don't die from that.
Listen to her rationalize this. It's bizarre. People don't die from it, so I can deal with it. It just boggles the mind how the human brain works. Now, here's another one. This is a much more severely injured woman. This is a short clip. I just wanted to make it real clear to everyone out there that if you don't know anybody who's been injured or has died, you're probably headed toward the minority pretty soon. But beyond that, these are real people with real lives, real feelings, real pain. And those who are killed by this bioweapon leave brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, family, children behind with holes in their hearts that will never, no pun here, never heal. This is a tragedy. Now, here's another one.
I'm here to tell you a little bit about my 11-month journey. I took my first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. I have had headaches. I've lost the use of my legs 3 times. I have tremors, convulsions, burning, numbness, tingling all over my body, muscle twitches, brain fog, memory loss, nausea, dizziness, tendonitis, pain all over my body for 11 months now. I'm tired. I am exhausted. I am fed up being my own doctor and my own researcher to find treatments that work and treatments that don't work. I am tired of being my own experiment. I need help. We all need medical help. And when is this 11-month nightmare going to end?
Well, in her case, chances are it may not. And I don't mean to be negative, but that's just the pattern we see. How many hundreds of millions of people around the world have been injured like this lady? And worse, of course.
Yeah, they're really stacking up now. It's getting harder for the perpetrators to hide this. We're reaching a tipping point, and now that the rollout has been expanded to include young children.
Well, we heard Nurse Ann tell us the hospitals are full, especially the neonatal units, wards for children. And what are they in there for? In most cases, they're in there for what? Heart issues, heart damage.
Yeah. Yep. 5-year-olds having strokes, heart attacks. When did that become acceptable?
And how can it be that the average rank and file human being at least usually can feed and bathe themselves and get to work, and yet they can't figure this out? I understand they have no access to the truth, that the mainstream media lies to them, but by this time, they know somebody who knows somebody who has got one or two or three or four more stories of dead friends, dead relatives, injured relatives. Everybody knows somebody who's been hurt after the vax. That's what drives me nuts.
I think in some circles, though, there's some hesitancy or taboo about questioning the vax. So people simply don't talk about it.
Well, there's a shame. They can't admit that they've taken a bioweapon, first of all. That's the biggest obstacle that I see. If they did understand what this was, they couldn't admit it. The human psyche wouldn't allow it. Am I right?
Yes. Yep.
I don't see it. I do not see it. Now, a lot of people are waiting around for an antidote. Oh, there must be an antidote. Well, in all likelihood, there is an antidote. There may be several. Wherever this ultimately was birthed from probably can trace back fairly quickly. Antidotes. Are we going to get any antidotes? Uh-uh. No. Now, there's a video here. I'm going to read this in just a moment. That came to my attention, and I unfortunately can't remember who sent it, but I thank them. This is a short clip from Communist China, the CCP, Communist Chinese Party. All right, this is a spokesman, one of the bigwigs, apparently, in one of the wings of the CCP. I'm going to stop the video. You'll hear him talking, but it's in Chinese, and I will read you the subtitles. It's short. And then we'll talk a little bit more about this. It is provocative, to put it mildly. All right, here we go. All right, what he's saying is what the CCP wants the most is to have the U.S. military get vaccinated. Once they get vaccinated, the U.S. military will collapse. And the CCP will triumph. After the U.S. troops are vaccinated, I tell you, the vaccination against the CCP virus, he's claiming ownership here, or propriety, will basically be near the end. I repeat, I tell you, the vaccination against the CCP virus will basically be near an end. Now, this video is one gentleman He's got the dominant portion of the screen, and there are six others. It's some kind of a video conference. All right, back to the translation. When the U.S. elite society is vaccinated, because of fear of death, and lack of faith. Interesting to hear a communist talk about faith. And because these rogue, low-level politicians, opportunists, meant to evade responsibility, especially when the Wall Street Hollywood celebrities, the White House, and the military troops are all vaccinated, I can assure you there will be no vaccination issue anymore. The people who are implementing the vaccination are soon to be finished. The people who are implementing the vaccine, as in two-thirds of our healthcare system, which took the shot to keep their jobs, not knocking them for it, I'm just telling you, in my view, and I think Erica would agree, these people are complicit in the murder and injury of everybody they inject this shit into, and that's what it is. Again, the people who are implementing the vaccination are soon to be finished. Those who are pushing the vaccination behind the scenes will likely have achieved their goals. Vaccination will no longer be pushed, and the antidote will certainly be offered. The antidote will pop up. What is the antidote for? It's not to heal the damage brought on by the vaccines, the bioweapon vaccines. It is to prevent you from transmitting the virus instead of a remedy for the vaccines. So what he's saying here is the antidote is not for the vax, the bioweapon. He's still talking about virus, oddly enough. Those who were vaccinated are sentenced to death. The antidote for the vaccines is still in the hands of the CCP. Since the CCP wants you to die, how would they offer the antidote to you? End of clip. Now, I sent this clip to a friend, I won't name, who has friends in China, who lived in China. These are very good friends, very intelligent Chinese. He sent the clip to them. Can you check the translation? Never heard a word back. His friends have vanished. They are no longer in communication with him. Make of that what you will. So there we go.
Yeah, that's I had seen that a couple weeks ago, that clip, and many people were attempting to authenticate the translation, and I don't know whatever came of it. If anybody had succeeded in verifying that it was an accurate translation, I mean, it's pretty damning if it's all true.
I've seen similar in writing, but not video, allegedly from Communist China. I don't know, but I just put that out there. We present it to you for your edification and your thought. Okay, now, virus. Oh, it's the COVID virus. Oh, it's COVID-SARS-2. Well, maybe it's not just COVID-SARS-2. Now, some weeks ago, Erica became the first person to pick up the thread from way last March by some Italian researchers who put a paper out, in fact, two papers, that SARS-CoV-2 may be at least as interested in entering your bacteria as it is in entering your cells. Let me read this to you, and then Eric is going to take it away. Italian researchers said, vaccines will not work because SARS-CoV-2 is also entering bacteria. Now, stay with me. SARS-CoV-2 is uniquely also replicating itself using bacteria cells, which changes everything. I'm going to read that again. This is a machine translation, so a little choppy. SARS-CoV-2 is uniquely also replicating itself using bacteria cells, which changes everything. It explains how it has colonized sewers. What they're saying here, apparently, is that they're finding what they think are, what they're claiming is SARS-CoV-2 in sewers, sewage. All right? Here's a little more of the machine translation from the Italian. SARS-CoV-2 is also a bacteriophage virus. A bacteriophage virus. It means that it enters the bacteria and replicates its RNA from there as well. We finally have the scientific evidence, complete with photos of the virus, colonizing the bacterium. This means that we are following procedures to be integrated. To eradicate it takes more than classic viruses. Not only are closures needed, you need to disinfect and prevent. And now there is the scientific rationale for which antibiotics work. We also need a vaccine against the toxins that we have found and our bacteria produce, much like the mechanism of diphtheria. End of extract. Okay, my friend, this is opening the door. You've been saying, we've been talking about this for weeks, and here it is, last March, and no one's touched it since then.
Yeah, it's almost shocking that nobody has picked up on this. I think I said previously a couple weeks ago, the only doctor I'm aware of that's even touching on a bacterial component to this is Dr. Peter McCullough, who is realizing that people with a very poor diet, very poor gut health, are having more issues combating infection with this virus, whatever it is, than people that are in a decent state of health. So he's instructing people to pay attention to their diet, knock off the sugars, blah, 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 the typical advice. But he's leaving it at that. I don't know if he's aware of this study or if he's just making that connection based on his direct experience with patients.
Right. When I watched yeah. that clip, it almost as if he mentioned it in passing. It was on the landscape, and he just mentioned it. You dove
yeah,
into this
it,
when
it
you
was
saw
very,
it.
You know, yeah. fleeting at best. Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe he knows that nobody wants to change their diet, and you know, they just want to take a pill and get over whatever it is that's afflicting them. Nevertheless, this study, yeah, the Italian research first came to light back in March of this year. And I saw it, and I really didn't know what to make of it at the time. It just seemed preposterous because you don't typically have a virus that infects eukaryotic cells, mammals, that can also infect a bacteria because they're just so vastly different. But what made me think about it again more recently was that whatever is afflicting people lately, what are, if they're calling it the Delta variant, or we don't even know because the testing is a joke. They seem to require an antibiotic to get over it. And then even sometimes if they're not using an antibiotic, they, you know, it takes them a while to get over it, they knock it down, and then they're good for a couple weeks and it comes back. So it seems to have a life cycle of some sort, as if maybe it's a bacterial thing, where if you don't take the requisite amount of antibiotics to knock it out completely, then it will come back in a period of time, and sometimes stronger, more virulent than it was the first time, because it's now adapted to these antibiotics or whatever it was you were using to try to knock it down. But
yeah.
And so rereading this Italian research, which has now been added to by the same group of researchers, the more closely looking at the types of toxins that are being produced, it's really, I don't know how this can be ignored at this stage of the game.
I don't see how it can be. No, it can't be. And one other quick thing. How did Dr. Zelenko come up with his Z-Pak, whatever it was?
Yep.
And the first ingredient he talks about was azithromycin, an antibiotic, when we've all been talking about nothing but a virus for the last year and a half. So what did Dr. Zelenko know, and when did he know it? That's the question.
It does make you wonder. You know, in the HCQ, presumably it was added because it's a zinc ionophore. It helps get zinc into the cell, and having enough zinc is critical to having an antiviral response. But HCQ is also used for things like malaria, mycoplasma infections, the intracellular infections, parasites. So I think the HCQ was doing a double duty, perhaps. Arguably, he may have added the azithromycin because oftentimes with respiratory viruses, they do a lot of damage to the lungs and they rip them apart and makes the lungs very susceptible to bacterial infection as a secondary infection. But, you know, we're talking here
maybe.
About... Mm. Yeah, or you just to stay ahead of
mm-hmm.
the crisis.
Got it.
But I don't know. If this virus or virus-like particle is infecting or capable of infecting bacteria, then maybe that was why he added the azithromycin.
Maybe he's well-connected, and we all know there are different levels of connectivity, shall we say, in any crisis like this, and it would be interesting to know. He also says, what did he say last week? He has something lined up that he is suggesting, and I believe it's of a naturopathic origin that will deal with smallpox, which will be his next line of products.
Oh,
he's
wow.
already getting another line of products ready to fight smallpox. And he says he has an ingredient that is all natural, that is apparently very effective against smallpox. That's what he's saying. You can find it. Go look. It's out there. I read it all today.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. And then how about the Marburg story we've been given several times. See what they're doing?
Yeah,
they're stirring the pot. They're stirring the pot.
Right, and trying to keep us off balance, I think. You wonder if these stories have been so-called leaked intentionally to create the hysteria so that when people see these images on the news of their fellow humans bleeding from their eyes or whatever orifices, they're going to automatically think that either smallpox or some hemorrhagic fever is on the loose, and we'll willingly comply with whatever they tell us to do.
You make a really important point. One nightly news cast showing two or three people with blood coming out of their eyes, out of their nose, out of their mouth, out of their ears, etc. You pick your orifice, would be enough to scare the hell out of Americans who have been beaten up with fear for nearly 2 years now. That's all it would take. And even if it wasn't a hemorrhagic fever or disease, they could make people look like they have it. So that has to be left on the table.
They'll whip out their phony PCR test and suddenly everybody has it.
And remember, the PCR test was allegedly now tweaked, so it is Marburg sensitive?
Yep.
Think about
yes.
that, friends. Think about the game that's being played on you at your expense. And when six corporations of almost singular mind own over 96% of the media in this country, How hard is it to stampede the sheep? Really? It's a joke. And today I went into the store today, and maybe some of you, here's something for some of you to do. I went to pick up my mail. There's a couple hundred mailboxes there. It's in a store, like a department store. They have a little substation there, and I went in, and the woman who runs it, very nice lady, been there 25 years or something. She started talking. She says, you know, for the first time since I've been here, I've got empty mailboxes. I said, what do you mean? She said, people are closing their boxes. I said, what? Because they're always full. Always 20, I've been here 20 years, always full. I said, what are they doing? She said, well, quite a few of them have died. And others are moving away. So there you go. If you have a mailbox, you might ask if somebody will talk to you. Just be casual. Say, how many boxes do you have available? Anything changed lately? Have you got more than usual? Are you seeing any people, you know, pass away and leave their boxes behind? I'll bet you'll find the same kind of thing wherever you go. It's just happening.
I am noticing businesses curtailing their normal hours. I mean, they're just not open as late. Some are closing like at 2 in the afternoon.
That's awfully early.
At Christmas time or the holidays?
No, that's not the way it works. Not usually. I talked to the store manager at a Rite Aid store today I went into, and she's been there, I don't know, 20 years. She said that she cannot find employees. She's five people short. She's working 80 hours a week. This is a big store. And the line at the pharmacy to pick up a prescription, a refill, or a first-time prescription, is now nearly an hour and a half. And she said, I just hired another pharmacist. Thank God the person's going to start Monday. So it's bad everywhere. And the little postal station that I go into, just like Erica said, is cutting their hours from 9 to 5 every day to 10 to 2 every day, Monday through Friday. That's it. They're cutting back. So same thing here.
Yeah, it's happening. We're losing population, or we're losing the original population, being replaced by waves of immigrants.
Being flown all over the country at your expense and my expense, placed in apartments or other housing at our expense, given free food, free dental, free medical, free school, free car, free gas, free cell phone, free you name it. And these people, by and large, are being brought in here from sub-Saharan Africa, from Latin America, I fear to think where else, and they're not getting shot up with the bioweapon. Why not? What's the agenda here? The agenda appears to be the death of 200 million Americans out of 330, and the replacement of perhaps half of that 200 million Americans dead with invaders. That's what they are. They're invaders.
I don't know how people can't see it at this point, what's happening. I mean, the country's being dismantled right under your nose.
I was told, as you know, over 3 years ago, well, probably close to three and a half now, that the plug was going to be pulled on the United States first. Western Europe would follow. Great Britain, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. And it's happened. It's happened exactly as I was told. There was much more to it than that. But this is all being done by the plan. Remember that. Plan. And if you don't prepare, you're going to be in trouble. And you, by God's grace, or whoever you believe in, you still have a little time to get to a Costco or whatever and buy bags of beans, bags of rice, buy something. They have food there. They still do, from what I'm told. So just keep in mind that it's up to you. No one is going to rescue you. And if you dial 911, good luck.
Well, I would also add, too, I mean, if they are going to unleash something else on us, you know, you probably do want to limit your human encounters. I mean, not to be paranoid, but whatever could come next, I suspect if this vaccine thing is going to stall out and they still want to wipe out a good proportion of the population, they would release something that's just more lethal. And whether or not it's contagious, infectious, contagious, I don't know. But it makes a case for minimizing your outings if you can, if that's possible.
Yes, perfect advice. Wear a mask, and it's all turned around now. The unvaccinated need the mask.
Yeah, whatever their advice they're telling you on television, do the opposite.
Perfect. People who see others walking around acting normal, and I don't know how much that's occurring anymore, because there are a lot of reports of people who are no longer the same, and I'm talking about people I know. One guy said his mom, and I've said this before, his mom has had three shots now, and she's not the same person. So it would suggest that maybe there's a component in this incredibly sophisticated, horrific, satanic bioweapon that gets into the matrix of the mind where your personality comes from. I don't know. We don't know. We're doing our very best to connect dots that are almost invisible sometimes.
I think we've determined early on, and now certainly with the bioweapon, that it does have neurotoxic effects. You know, the spike protein all by itself, because it's toxic, just getting into the brain is going to cause issues. But then there was another study that came out of Croatia recently that was looking at the spike protein and its ability to bind to an enzyme called monoamine oxidase, also known as MAO. And people who have taken antidepressants might be familiar with MAOIs, monoamine oxidase inhibitors. So if the spike protein is acting as an MAOI, what it's doing is essentially the same as, well, what a drug in that class would do, and keeping your serotonin levels high, keeping your dopamine levels high, and keeping your norepinephrine levels high. Now, if any one of those things, if they're not getting broken down in the brain, can cause a whole range of unpleasant symptoms, not the least of which is agitation, anxiety, sleeplessness.
Let me mention also that Anne Blake Tracy, the number one proponent of banning SSRIs, antidepressants, gave me some information, and I shared it with Erica some time ago, that there are at least two organizations, I forget the name of them, they're doctors, and they're very much anti-vax, but they're actually recommending SSRI antidepressants as a treatment.
And I heard that.
Shocking. I can't believe it.
I guess the rationale is that somebody did a study, they published the results, and it showed that it did bring down the inflammation. I'm not sure, but the inflammation associated with the infection. I don't know.
Whatever the infection is. What does Tenpenny say? Over 40 different vectors that she's identified that can be catastrophic to health. Something like that.
Yeah, the vaccine can kill you or damage you irreparably in no less than 40 different ways. And she came up with that list several months ago, and she, as well as I, can easily think of some additional ones, many additional ones, to add to that. It's absolutely insane.
I have always felt that the complexity, the Byzantine sophistication of this is so over the top. I almost believe it's partially ET, I know we have the technology and the techniques and we have the brilliance to do it, but I don't know. It is really evil stuff. This is not a one-off deal. This is bad.
Well, and this, if there ever was a virus, and there's plenty of people that would argue that it was merely the flu rebranded, just a bad version of flu. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of it. But, you know, the fact that it wasn't killing hordes of people, why did we need a vaccine? We didn't.
No, of course not.
And even if there was one, it should have been optional. But now it's being forced on everyone, and
the plan,
and it's really the vaccine that's it.
SSRIs, believe it or not, antidepressants being recommended for this sickness. And do remember that most everybody in the hospital now, most hospitals are overcrowded. Most child units are overcrowded. They're full to the max. And it's all heart and circulatory problems. What does that tell you? It's not normal flu. What's the coincidence? There really isn't any. It's bad. To wind up this SSRI, I would not recommend anyone out there taking SSRIs in any way connected with this bioweapon. Don't even think about it.
Well, particularly this is actually could be quite lethal if this spike protein that's being produced in people who have had the vax, if it's acting like an MAOI, monoamine mm-hmm. oxidase inhibitor, and you yeah. also add an SSRI to that, yeah. that could be lethal. You could have what they call the serotonin syndrome and go into a hypertensive crisis and die.
Right then and there. 100% true. Okay, let me play a little of Larry Pilevsky and Dr. Tenpenny. They did about 8 or 9 minutes here. It was pretty good, and I wanted you to get a chance to hear it. I think you both are known to most of you. They have their program called, what's it called? Critical Thinking, yes?
Yep, critically Thinking, yes.
Did they come out with one last week?
I have not seen one from last week, no.
Okay. All right, here's an excerpt from, I guess, the one before last week. Not bad. All right, take a listen here.
I hate to ask for anything, but would Dr. T and Dr. P be willing to write a fact sheet with 3 to 5 points regarding the shot for kids? Number one, it's not a vaccine. Number two, it's not going to protect you against any infection. Number three, it's meant to make you sick. Number four, it does not have anything in it that has ever been studied for safety, short-term or long-term. Number five, there is no understanding of the biological effects of the materials in these shots. Number six, there is information in the shots that will allow the child to continue to manufacture spike protein. Number seven, the manufacturing of spike protein will continue to allow the body to produce antibodies against the spike protein. Any similarity or sameness of the genetic material of the spike protein to any parts of the body will cause the body to take those antibodies and turn on the body's tissue and cause any number of illnesses, diseases, mitochondrial defects, infertility, and death. Dr. T?
And the bottom line of the fact sheet is just don't do it. I mean, for any of you who have this, and I had several patients in the office this week, Larry, that just came in and sat down and cried. That's all they did. Because they're grandparents, and they know that their kids have bought the Kool-Aid, and they can't run fast enough to the doctor's office or to the school or to wherever to get all of their children injected right. with these shots.
Right.
I don't know what to say about that. You know, I'm really with this one woman I engaged with quite a while because she wouldn't talk about anything else other than her daughter had completely bought the Kool-Aid her daughter's married to an atheist who doesn't believe in, because his father died when he was 7, and so therefore there can't be a God that would do that to him, if he would do that to him. And they've got a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old that's already been injected. And she can't wait to get the rest of them injected. And I'm really trying, and I'm failing dismally to trying to understand this, what's going on inside the heads of parents that are just running to get these kids injected. Can you enlighten me on some of that?
Yes. Well asked, well said. Number one, people need to feel like they belong. Number two, people are afraid. Number three, people's desires, lower vibrational wants and needs are more important than their higher selves. In other words, they want their kids to get into their soccer programs. They want their kids to be able to play high school sports. They don't want to see their kids upset that they can't go to concerts or they can't go to school. They want to belong. They want life to go back to the way it was. They want and want and want. They are operating completely in the hindbrain, the desires, the yearnings, the primitive needs and wants. They are not understanding what it's like to live in sacrifice for a higher purpose and a higher good. That's my impression, because I've heard so many people say, well, I wanted to go on the cruise. My wife would have killed me if I didn't get the shot, because I wouldn't have been able to go on the cruise. Because I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to eat at a restaurant. I want to be able to play soccer. I want to be able to go to the ball game. I want to be able to blank.
Venus.
So it's this primitive desires. It's this lower level, infantile, if I don't get to do this, I'll die. And that's the primitive brain. If I don't get this, I will die.
See what he's saying, though, over and over again, and his point is very well taken. I want, I want, I want, I want. Is that how to live life to its highest and fullest? I want. I like to think
that's that immediate gratification.
Yeah. All right. Here's just a little drop more.
And that's not operating in any higher brain function at all. And so that's why people are running, because they want to belong. They want to keep up. I mean, Dr. T, I will tell you this, and I'm curious to see if you experience this. Over the last 30 years, how many parents sat around using their child's medical diagnosis as a trophy to talk amongst themselves? Well, my child has asthma, and we're doing this, we're doing that. And another parent, well, my child has ADD, ADHD. These diseases became trophies. This way of parents feeling like, oh, see, we're all in this together. We and nobody could actually look and say, what the hell is going on? Why are all these kids having all these diseases? It was.
Okay, we're going to stop there. This is up in the archives if you want to listen to it. It's all there. Here's the deal. He's right. There's a syndrome that real good healers know about. They've seen it before. It's a psychological condition, and I used to call it defeat the healer. Defeat the healer. You don't want to get well because your disease, your disorder, your disability has become a dominant part of your personality. Like it or not, that's the way it works.
Yeah, I've seen it too. You know, it becomes who they are.
And who are they?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, people are afraid. They just, you know, it becomes routine. And then, you know, you get the the mentality that just becomes hardwired, and then knee-jerk reaction, and you're programmed. And it's very hard to break out of those that way of thinking once you've established it.
No, it becomes a truly dominant, pivotal fulcrum in terms of your sense of self. So it happens. And it's not something you can just walk in there and spin a dial and it goes away. It is an integral part of who you are. And that happens. Children see this and they adopt it. Oh, my arm hurts. Oh, mommy, my arm hurts. Or my back, whatever. I've seen it. I used to teach school. I taught high school for 2 years. I worked with elementary school children for 7 years, sports. And you'd see it. Not so much then. Now it's a different kind of a ball game. No pun intended. The children today are learning victimhood by watching their parents. That must stop if we're to have a chance. We are not victims. We should be accountable.
And entitlement. That's a pervasive attitude, just entitlement. I deserve, I should have.
Well, they have. Why can't I have? Mary has it. Tommy has it. Why don't I have a cell phone? Come on, Mom. And they bitch and moan to Mom or Dad, and you know what happens. They get the cell phone or the Xbox or whatever it is. The parents don't seem to have there are many wonderful parents, and many of you listening right now are wonderful parents. And you know what we're talking about here. The kid goes into a government school. First thing they do, beginning in first grade, is begin to tear that child's identity down, program them, feed them vile material in many cases. The parents don't care. They've got to have their own life, remember? Can't give up your life. You're stuck at home all the time raising kids. That's not an identity. You've got no identity. So it's really a quadruple-edged sword here. I don't see any easy way out, do you?
No, I think we're at a point in terms of our moral degeneracy as a culture, as a society, where they're able to pull this off now. This mass genocide, this kill, because they're able to exploit, I guess, the most primal tendencies of a human being.
Right. That's exactly what they do.
You know, seeking pleasure, wanting to belong, I don't know, everything that
hedonism.
Has been promoted the last 10 years, anything goes.
Hedonism.
Hedonism,
that's
yes.
The name of it.
Yep.
That's what we've become. I want to make one other point here that Erica has brought out from the beginning, which I think most of you who follow this and track it will understand is just it's not being talked about anymore. And that is the issue of highly toxic nanolipid particles that are being put into your body or every injection. And these things can cause trouble, I guess, in every major organ of the body. Tell us a little bit more about nanolipids. We got about a minute and a half.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe we'll get into it another time. But just basically, they have a positive charge on them. And not when they go into the body, but certainly after they've discharged their cargo and before they've been eliminated, they have a positive charge. And whatever they touch, they're going to oxidize. And, you know, this can include, because they're nano-sized, they're inside the cell, then every organelle, including the DNA, including the nucleus, can be damaged by these things. And they certainly don't stay at the injection site, as we were told initially, and I kind of knew that was impossible anyway. They go everywhere. And I think that some of these syndromes that we're seeing now following the vax, to me, it looks like sarcoidosis, which is a derangement of the immune system. The immune system is trying to deal with, a lot of times it's infectious agents, viral, fungal, something, but I think in this case it's these nanoparticles, whether it's the lipids, whether it's the iron oxide, whether it's the graphene, whether it's, I don't know, whatever else is in there, but it seems to be systemic, and it's got a lot of characteristics of this condition called sarcoidosis, and it's not good.
And getting worse, unfortunately.
Nobody's offering these people any help.
No. Have you read much, and Erica covers social media boards on these things, groups. Have you seen many people who have been severely injured by these bioweapons getting better, recovering?
No. Some, I suppose, and then they probably drop out of those groups. But the ones remaining in these groups, mm-hmm. there's people 7, 8, 9 months out, and their symptoms are every bit as bad as they were. They might have waxed and waned. And now there are other symptoms, other impairments afflicting them.
Comes and goes. We'll talk more about the bacterial aspect of this in our next program and future programs as well. But let me wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. I hope you can find some joy in the day with your family and friends and loved ones. Erica?
Yes, thank you. Likewise. It's been great contributing all these months.
Yeah, we're kind of getting close to a year at this. And time flies. So thank you, and we'll talk soon, Erica.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. And good thanks night. To all of you. Good night. Thanks to all of you for being here. And again, have a wonderful day tomorrow. And remember, every day is a blessing. Don't forget that. Talk soon.